Hey guys, welcome back to Unleashed. I'm Brent Henderson, and remember that we are the resistance. Man, it is so exciting today. I've got some stuff to tell you I think you're going to be really interested in. We're going to add some new dynamics to this podcast. It's going to become bigger, more glamorous, not really more glamorous, but it's going to be, I think it's going to be a lot more interesting and engaging. So before I kind of tell you about that, just kind of do a little catch up on the weekend. Not a whole lot going on this past weekend. I'm a big IndyCar guy. I love watching IndyCar racing, and there wasn't anything happening this weekend. There was the weekend before, and Stacy's like, hey, you know, we need to have a really good date. There was nobody going to be at home this weekend. Let's go ahead and go somewhere. So we went down towards Bloomington, Indiana, to a place that she had kind of picked out. We can have a little picnic and stuff. And, you know, I know her. Like, on the way down, it's like, hey, let's make sure we stop at Starbucks. And I'm like, I know. I pull up to the window. I know what she wants. And she's like, are you getting anything? I'm like, nah, I don't really do the flavored coffee stuff much. But it's about really getting into her world, right? And so I'm trying to be like on my A game. I'm trying to be understanding, receptive to whatever she's feeling, thinking, saying. So we go to this place and we sit there for a couple of hours. And as we're sitting there at this beautiful outdoor place, she goes, hey, there's like something on my phone saying that our tire is low. Well, the tire's got 12,000 miles on. I go, you know what? It was cold last night. It happens. You know, it'll be fine. You know, just kind of the guy thing. And we get in the vehicle and we go to leave. We don't even get a half mile. And she checks the pressure on the tire with the app. It says 1 pound. And I'm like, no way. I pull over. Sure enough, we got a flat tire. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You know, do you ever, guys, you try to get something set up and you're really trying to move into your wife's world, and it just feels like things keep kind of thwarting it to kind of get under your skin a little bit so you're not really present. That's kind of what the enemy was doing with me. We go to a tire place. They can't fix it. They don't have a tire to replace it with. We go to another place. They can't fix it. The tire costs $300. Now the rest of that day and evening, we had to kind of just kind of go and be some places, get thwarted. And I'm like, God, really? Are you going to be able to kind of redeem this? How are you going to use this? So we get home and we put on The Chosen. That's something we've been watching. I think I mentioned that last week. It's been really good for us because we'll put on The Chosen and we'll talk about, you know, each, sometimes even in the middle of the episode, we'll pause it and we'll talk about, how did that just affect you? You know, I can see this in your life, or what do you see relating from that to me, or all these things. But the process of us talking together through these things has been really good. And for about the last couple of months, the other way we've been processing is, I've told you guys about the new book, Unleashed, that my buddy Kevin and I have been working on. It'll be coming up on a year here in just a couple of weeks. Well, I want to tell you guys, this is where it kind of starts getting exciting. You know, all the frustration sometimes in doing podcasts, you know, you're creating material, you're doing things, your schedule gets goofy. And sometimes, you know, people get tired of hearing just your voice. And I said, God, you know, with everything happening right now, I really want you to direct this thing and lead it. And so the very first time that I was working on the Unleashed book, you know, I had been working on concepts for a couple of years. I'm sitting in Starbucks in Daleville, Indiana. And I'm ready to walk out the door, and God says, don't go. I'm like, what do you mean, don't go? I'm done. I got writer's block. He goes, I want you to stay 10 more minutes. 10 minutes later, right on the button, in walks Kevin into Starbucks. Now, I remembered Kevin. We really hadn't had many conversations. I think maybe a couple years earlier, we might have had one at Panera or something. And I said, hey, this is going to be really weird. I said, but kind of think like, you're supposed to be here right now, and here's why. And I told him about the 10-minute thing, and we sat down and discovered his passion is almost exactly like mine is. It's really about helping people walk through unhealthy thoughts, emotions, and actions by the renewing of their mind, encouraging people, empowering people to live out their purpose that God's given them. But first, you got to be able to see it. And so the enemy, like this weekend, he loves throwing all kinds of stuff at you to try to kind of get you off track. And that day, the enemy didn't win. So where we're kind of going with this is today, it's been 11 months, and the book is, we think, in pretty much formatted. Kevin, you're sitting here on the mic right now. Would you agree with that?
Well, for the best of our ability, yes.
Yeah.
We're ready to hand it to somebody smarter.
Yeah, we actually met with a publisher. I won't say who, but we kind of sat and we're kind of waiting to get that feel. Like your own baby. You think your baby's beautiful, right? It is beautiful. But you need someone else to look at it and go, oh my gosh. You
know, objectivity.
Kind of objectivity. So with this whole thing, I've been saying, God, I really want someone to walk with on the podcast, because I talk about men, you know, walking with your brothers. And I think it's important for me to have another voice in these podcasts where we can go back and forth, see things from different ways, like he said, different perspectives, so we can take some of the tough stuff and really walk into them. Now, one of the things I love about Kevin, other than being really, really funny, is he lived for a long time in Colorado. So he's got some experience in the Rockies, which I have a lot of respect for. But anyhow, I just want to introduce to you, Kevin, you were on, was it two episodes?
I've been on two episodes with you, yeah.
You know, Kevin, he, besides being a visionary, you know, he's an entrepreneur, he's a speaker, he's a connector, if you know what I'm talking about with that. He is the, the chief disruption officer at Disruptify? What does that mean?
Well, I like to disrupt things that need to be disrupted. So we find ourselves often in patterns or ruts, doing the same things over and over again and continuing to expect different results. We've all heard about that analogy before. And I just think so much can be disrupted for the better. And we don't disrupt things just for the fun of it.
Well, there's some people that
I'm not that twisted. I'm on the edge of that, but not quite that far. So,
Well, you know, I could sit here and read your bio, and I've got the whole thing sitting here.
You have to read the last paragraph.
I have to read the last.
Okay, I wrote it especially for you to read it.
Okay, when he's not, is this the one when he's not igniting?
Yeah, that works.
All right, it says, when he's not igniting transformation in people's lives and businesses, you'll sometimes find Kevin hunting or fishing, but for the past 7 years, he's been dominating the pickleball courts and terrorizing the weak with his overhead smashes. Kevin also loves embarking on global adventures alongside of his wife, savoring the art of crafting wood pieces in his backyard, creating cherished moments with his family, friends, and neighbors alike.
Yeah, that was for you.
You just had to put that. I haven't even read it yet.
It was the terrorizing part that I appreciated the most. Terrorizing the weak.
You should have just left me like get to that and like going, really?
Yeah.
That was great. Hey. This is what I mean. He loves putting some fun stuff in. Well, buddy, I'm glad you're here, and we're going to try this format out. And we wrote the new book together.
Yeah. Well, and our listeners now, I suppose I can look at it that way, but they don't know that we've also been recording a different podcast just for our own benefit.
Right.
No, we've not released anything. So this isn't new to us.
Yeah.
This feeling of sitting in here in the room and, yeah.
Yeah, because we sit here and just kind of, but here's the funny thing is when you know you're recording for it to go out, there's something you feel different. When you're just being goofy,
right.
Sometimes there's power in just being goofy.
Well, you're preaching my language there, baby.
But anyhow, that's kind of where we wanted to start. And it's really about, you know, the podcast is called Unleashed. And after 2 years, God put this thing together where we're actually going to have information to put in your hands.
Yeah. It's powerful. It really is. And you have to hesitate a bit when you say that as an author. Right? Hey, what I've written is powerful. It's amazing. Right. I can't wait for you to be completely transformed. That's what the Bible is for. But the Bible is our source for what we've put together for you, and we cannot wait to get it into your hands.
When you think about the book, what are some of the most powerful things about the creating of this book? Not necessarily just what's in the book. Where did you see God?
That is a great question. They probably go hand in hand, the creating of the book and what's in the book, if I'm going to answer the question to the fullest. For me, it was realizing that, and maybe not realizing, but really getting my arms around the fact that just about everybody has gone through the stuff that we're going to talk about in the book. I mean, just about everybody. Everyone struggles with something, whether it was abuse, being bullied, never feeling like you're worthy enough, whatever those things are. And these things are evident in the book in the stories that we share from early childhood through adulthood. I think people will quickly resonate with, I felt like that.
Yeah.
I mean, so in the news, right? Big stuff in the news over the last, whatever it was, a week and a half or two ago when this guy, the CEO of Astronomer, right? Andy Byron got caught, snuggled up a little too close with the HR gal. Right. But you could see on his face what we talk about in the book.
Yeah. Yeah, shame.
You can see on her face, the moment they were exposed, let's use that word, right? That instant shame. Like, they both hid.
Yeah.
He ducked under a table.
Yeah.
And
Adam, where are you? I'm hiding. Why are you hiding?
Why are you hiding?
Because we're naked.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
who
the way
told you you were naked?
That's right.
Yeah, so, and I feel for him, and I feel for her, and I feel for the rest of the families that were impacted by that incident. And, of course, pray that, you know, God sees all the glory from this, and those guys come to know him as their Savior if they don't already. But, you know, these things, we've all done things that we regret, or we've felt ways that we never should have felt. You know, I think unworthy is the key word for a lot of that stuff. But, yeah, for me, it was really beginning to figure out how to expose some of that, help people resonate with these stories. And then my expectation is that they would then resonate with the biblical parallels and then start to move. We're giving them frameworks to be able to move within to make changes.
Yeah, there is so much meat on the bone in this new book. I mean, I'm a storyteller. I love telling stories. I do it when I'm speaking. But this book goes so far beyond just telling a story. It gives you real life application that you get to walk through. It's that son, hold the flashlight for me, and then here now, let me hold the flashlight for you.
Right.
You get the chance to be able to walk through this, so you get the revelation, so you get the aha, so you get the transformation. I think, I mean, I read so many books, and we want to put a bow on things, and I'm don't get me wrong, we bring hope and all that wonderful things into this book, but we're not trying to tie a bow to say life is just going to be perfect. Just give it to God. Okay, well, how do we do that? And I think that's what we see with this book. We put some really hard stuff in here, but we always bring it back around to, what's the one chapter, when disadvantages become advantages.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites. Or the other one was talking about your divorce, but not disqualified.
Correct.
Those are some tough things to talk about, and we tackle them.
We do, and we unashamedly tackle them. Yeah. One of those two things. Let's do both. Yeah, I get it. You know, and it's all kinds of sin. It's not just divorce that doesn't disqualify you, right? Any sin doesn't disqualify you. That's the whole point of being transformed and renewed and recognizing and adopting and applying the reality that your identity is in Christ.
Yeah. Last night we were watching where Jesus comes in to the temple and the money changers are doing all their stuff. And Stacy, she'd heard the story, but she didn't know that Jesus actually created a whip.
Made a whip, yeah.
Yeah, before he went
in. He was like, I'm coming in hot.
I know. And she's just like, I never knew this side of Jesus. And I'm like, you know, when the lion and the lamb, you talk about both of those, he is both. And his anger wasn't an unrighteous anger. It was a righteous anger, what they were doing with his father's house. He's mad at the Pharisees. You've made a mockery of this. You're having people buy sacrifices, right, to be able to atone for their sin.
Yeah.
And Jesus came to be that atonement for sin. And you see the anger. He's like, I'm done with this. I want your heart. And I think in this book you're going to see that's what we're after. We really are after your heart. You are going to connect with this.
Yes. I don't think there's any question. And we tackle it at the root, too. So, for instance, I'm just going to pull a random sentence off of page, what looks like 83 currently. Who knows what page it will be later. Because the only way to get free from the shame of sin is not behavior modification. It's transformation. And the reason, Brent, that we have that sentence in there the way that we do is because the thing that changes behavior is beliefs.
Yeah.
And we tackle beliefs in this book so that transformation can occur.
And then the biggest piece of it is transformation. You know, it's that thing that is going to transform your behaviors by the renewing of your mind. But that, even that, all comes out of you were transfigured the moment that you truly believed. That's where your belief system, when you understand that you were transfigured, that means the old is gone, the new has come. That's now your foundation to build off of, because Christ in you is now your one true identity. And that's what we kind of build everything in this book off of.
Yeah. Let me go backwards just a bit and maybe share with some of our listeners where I was when we started our conversation in September of last year. And you're right. We knew each other. You know, we had met during my college years. You happened to be around the campus just because of the work you were doing at the time. And then we didn't reconnect until much later when we ran into each other at Panera. You did do a podcast with me for the pastors.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So we had a little extra time together, but not much. And then we'd see each other again maybe every 6 months or whatever at a Panera.
Right.
And so I'm walking into Starbucks to meet with a gal about pickleball, which, for those that know me, is not a surprise at all. My life is very much wrapped around pickleball events. And but Sky was with me, and my wife was with me, so it didn't really matter that I was able to ignore that meeting that was occurring then and come over and chat with you. And so we probably talked for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes and said, what we really landed on was, we need to get back together. And we made that happen within a few days, and then boom, off to the races. Well, I didn't have any expectation of being involved in writing a book with you. I was in the middle of editing one with my business partner.
Right.
Right. We launched it in January. I'm in the middle of writing a couple others with him / editing. I try to do less of the writing and more of the processing and editing.
Which you're very good at, by the way.
Well, that's probably why I gravitate that direction, because I don't want to just sit down and write. And then all of a sudden, here's this opportunity. And I have wanted to do something for the kingdom from a writing perspective much more than I had been doing. So, I mean, I don't know that God had... I didn't hear God say to me, go to Starbucks that morning to meet with Brent, right?
Right.
I didn't need to.
Yeah.
He made it happen without me being told. And I jumped on it right away. It was just awesome.
There's something in the book. We call it the three A's. And it stands for alignments, appointments, and assignments.
Yeah.
In alignments, it's, you know, God will often place the right people in your life at the right time to align you with what God's plans are. And I think that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
You know, we sat down that day, we talked about our passion for coaching, about discipleship, you know, reaching the lost, and everything that we talked about, you know, it began to align like crazy perfectly. And so what's that scripture? It's Proverbs 27:17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And so that alignment that God had been moving us both to have that same passion for where he was going to be moving us to. And so then what does he do? He creates that appointment. There we were. We're not divinely scheduled. I mean, we were divinely scheduled. We didn't have like...
It wasn't on our calendar.
It wasn't on our calendar. and it wasn't really about a coffee run. Like when I went there, I'll go there sometimes because I don't know why. That's the noise in the background and everything else going on. Somehow I can write. It just kind of cancels the other stuff in my head out.
Brent, they've proven that is a highly productive setting.
So I'm at Panera. I'm writing my other book. I think it was the Into the Wilds. And I'm sitting there for 5 straight hours, which was not unusual. I would find a corner booth, and I'll never forget. The police come walking in. I didn't even know they came in. They come to my table and look down at me, and they said, sir. And I'm like, what did I do? I'm sitting here. Did you witness that accident? I said, what accident? Mm. They said, the one right outside your window, 20 feet away. I said, what are you talking about? I said, yeah, an entire truckload of all this stuff, wood and metal, all come crashing down, and someone caused the accident. I never even heard it, and I didn't have headphones on. I was so focused in a place that has all kinds of noise, that's where I can grab my own thoughts, where the enemy's not messing with me. So that's really funny when you said that.
There's and I'll have to find it, but there's a website that's literally just, I know, it's called Coffitivity, like coffee productivity, Coffitivity.
Huh.
And you just go to that website, and you just hit play, and you just listen to a coffee shop in your whatever, home, office, wherever you're at.
And someone's making money off of that.
I don't
they
know.
They set a microphone up somewhere and they just...
Yeah, I don't know if they're... I mean, it's free. I think it was free at least the last time I used
Great
it.
Great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I find it very effective.
Well, I like my sleep. You know, on my phone, I have different sleep apps. And you can have a fan. You can have a waterfall.
Sure.
Birds.
White, brown, green, yellow noise.
If I start hearing like birds and stuff, I'm thinking I'm in the woods. Oh, and I start thinking about hunting.
I know.
I can't sleep.
Or it's time to get up.
Right.
Are those birds tripping?
No, that would be my dog rolling over on my head. Realizing, you awake? You awake?
Oh, my gosh. Does Everyone. It lick you?
My hand.
No.
It's not a face licker, thank God, because I can't do that.
I'm just not. I love dogs, but I don't want their saliva on me.
Yeah, I don't either.
I really not, don't.
Some people get their face down there. I'm like, why would you let, do you know where that dog's tongue is?
I used to, and then I read up on it. I don't want no dog tongue, pinworm, junk, whatever it is.
Oh, would you believe... I'm sitting here, and I was going to be going down through some of the notes that we possibly could talk about, and I bumped something, and it all went away.
Well, that makes it harder to do. We're on alignments, appointments, and assignments, Brent. And our assignment was to put together this book. So we got on it.
So we talked about
it. We didn't even call it Unleashed to begin with.
Yeah.
It had a whole different name, whatever that was.
Because I was working on this thing called, really it was called, was it the Pyramid of Purpose or the Purpose?
Yeah,
Pyramid
it didn't matter. Yeah, like something like that.
And I went, the book is so much bigger than this. That's just one of the concepts.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, I don't think you want to name it that.
Yeah.
So we just started looking for stuff. And
I just said, why aren't you just calling it Unleashed? It like matches pretty well with your podcast. And we were done. That was it. That was the name. All right. So what's the tagline?
The
where whatever and whatever intersect. What's the tagline?
What are you talking about? You're talking about the subtitle of the book.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry. The subtitle for the Unleashed book is...
British Brent here.
I know. It's because I'm kind of screwed up because my whole computer screen just went bye-bye. I asked, I just shut everything down. I'm trying to pull things back up, and it's going to something totally different.
Oh.
Yeah, I won't tell you what. It was something I had been writing for my wife.
Aww.
Very, very special.
Awesome.
And now she's going to know about it. Yeah, the subtitle for the book is When Passion and Purpose Collide.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Because it's going to be about, you know, what is that thing that you're passionate about? Well, it's coming from your why.
Yeah, becomes part of your purpose.
Yeah, it becomes part of your purpose.
Should. Don't let it not. That's my double negative for the day.
You know, one of the things going back with the writing this book, I think it's real easy to want to just write a really good book and get it out there so you can have a book on your resume, so you can have another title for a speaking event in case they want to book again. But here's what I loved about our getting together for this. When we would sit down, and sometimes we're both focused on agendas because we have so many irons in the
fire. Can we just get through this today?
Yeah.
Which is bad.
And we just stop and go, hey, before we even do anything, tell me about your week.
Yeah, how can I pray for you? What's going on? All the fun stuff.
Because that's what the book is really about.
Yeah.
You know, even now I'm talking about this, the enemy can throw things at you and throw you off. And I just kind of feel like I want to pull back and go, you know, what was your week? I shared a little bit about how the enemy was messing with my weekend.
Yeah. You had a long, as you called it, the weekend extended into my Monday.
Well, and so here's why I'm
this morning.
I'm fried this morning because here's what happened. So I'm getting ready to go work on the podcast, which I never got a chance to do.
Right.
Because the drawer, the silverware drawer, is jammed. Something is in there. It's gotten too high.
See, Brent, everyone can resonate with these stories.
And I just repainted the entire kitchen. And so now, and my wife loves this, so what's happened? All the edge of the drawers and the cabinet are all chunked up because I'm trying to get stuff out. I'm sending her pictures of work, and she's freaking out. What are you doing to my cabinets? It's still not fixed.
She's calling the boss and telling him she needs to go home for the day to help you out.
Yeah, she says... I think I just need to come leave work. I'm like, leave work to come fix a drawer? She says, but look what you're doing to it. I promise I will fix it.
No, you can normally just slide your fingers in there and it works, but you couldn't find the thing or get to the thing that was causing it to be jammed.
I was using other knives, other forks.
How hard did you shake it?
Like, needle, I shake the snot out of it. And, but the bedroom, you know, for our youngest is right above that. I'm
going
to wake her up.
Who cares? I need this drawer open.
I was about ready to go.
Let me ask you, how bad did you need the drawer open? Or was it just that it was not opening that was bothering you? Like, I'm seriously, like, which?
No, here's what was bothering me. I knew it would bother Stacy.
Okay.
Well, I'd have been like, we'll figure it out at some point.
Sure.
But because I knew she would want it fixed, I spent the entire morning. Now, she leaves for work at 7:15. I didn't stop until I got that message from you at like 9:08. Like, where are you?
I go, hey, are we still good for this morning?
And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I'm so into this drawer. There's a perfect example of how the enemy can just mess with you.
Yeah, it's funny.
And then I walk out of the house and I drop the mouse and it goes underneath the truck so far I have to crawl under the truck to get it.
Yes.
And then I shake up my drink that I'm bringing with me in the truck and it explodes and I had just cleaned my truck yesterday.
Yes. It's a hot drink?
No, but it's got, you know, it's got a lot of other stuff in there. It's pretty sticky when it lands on leather. And so yeah, there you go. I get to clean twice. I get to. See,
you maybe
I
you'll
get to.
Maybe you'll find some stuff you missed the first time around.
Well, I've lost my keys, my spare set.
Oh.
And so maybe they'll be found.
That'd be great. Let's just completely change the topic for a second. You're heading to Colorado soon. Fairly soon.
It'll be I fly out the 13th, flying into Colorado Springs.
13th of August, like you're
no,
gone.
No. Oh, September.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's an early hunt.
Okay. Yeah, elk hunting comes in, I think, about the 1st of September. It used to be the end of August. They've moved it now.
That's the rut.
Yeah, well, probably about mid-September is when the rut starts to really light up, and it'll go the rest of the month. And yeah, I got drawn. I'll be, you know where Yampa is?
Yeah.
I'll be probably another 10 miles back in the mountains or so, maybe a little more than that from Yampa. But there's wolves in the area, which is going to be fun. Mm. They have to tell you that when you draw, if you get
an area where there's wolves.
And, you know, I've had a couple of bears I've had to shoot, and I said I had to. Interesting.
Yeah.
And Roger, when I've been with Roger in this location, I've gotten hypothermia when I was there. There are big beginnings of it. They had to get me under a tarp and get hot fluids in me. Been stranded by water, surrounded overnight, and had
that's
to find
fun.
A way out. Yeah, that was crazy.
Because you don't know how high that water's going to go.
You don't. And it kept raining.
Yeah.
You're like,
and it's like, stop.
It already surrounded us.
Flash flood, you're in trouble.
And then the next year, going out, my water filtration unit messed up, and I wasn't drinking water. And we were, I don't know, four miles deep. But that's 4 miles in Indiana is totally different than 4 miles in the thick foliage in Colorado Mountains.
At 9 or 10,000 feet above sea level.
Yep.
The sickness you can get, altitude sickness you can get, is dangerous. Bad, dangerous.
Yeah, you'll start getting bad headaches.
Yeah.
And then my fingers started to curl up.
Yeah.
And my thumb was so bad, I had to go over to Roger and say, can you pull my finger into place? Because it was, can you pull my finger? He said,
I feel like you should say when.
Say when. But anyhow, I ended up blind and spent a couple of days in the hospital.
Oh, yeah. Blind. That's, I think they call it purple brain. I think that's the name for it.
Wow.
When you get that dehydrated and messed up from that stuff.
Yeah, rhabdomyolysis is the term they gave it. They call it rhabdo.
Yeah.
And Roger the other day when I was calling, Roger's got a couple medical things going on too right now. And I said, I think you better find the closest hospital and go ahead and make reservations about 4 days into our hunt because we're going to be there.
Tell them to get our room ready.
That's right.
Make it a double.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, Yampa, for those that don't know, just south of Steamboat Springs, which is straight west of Rocky Mountain National Park. Which is just gorgeous.
We'll be hunting. Our spike camp will be right at about 10,000 feet.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and where are we here? 1,000?
Huh?
What's our elevation here?
Oh, yeah, we're under 1,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. It's, you're really supposed to go to 6, and then 7, and then 8,
and acclimate,
and then 9.
Well, we will as we drive.
Yeah, yeah. each day, most of us can go to 7 or 8 without having to worry about, you know,
I've been hitting the treadmill. You know, I've been hitting it every single day. And I've been putting it like, I used to just walk at 1. I just want to get my miles in. As you start getting closer, like, better put it up to 5, 7, 10.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when
you're walking vertical.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're carrying pack and you're carrying a whole ham or something out of the back of an elk, you know, you've got 100 pounds on your back. In addition to what you've got, so it's no longer just about training. Now is about the time when I usually go out to Mounds Park and I take a backpack and I stuff it full of stuff.
Yep.
And go out there and get my miles in.
Yeah, you got to get your bummy in shape. Tell you what, you guys don't hunt with horses?
Nope.
They make packing out a lot easier.
Yeah, and you can't do four-wheel drive in these areas.
Oh, yeah.
We were going down into a place called Poison Pass. And it was Roger and Brian and I, as we're going down, here come some horses, and this guy had one of those dogs that, it's just one of those. You don't know where it came from, right? But it was big. And the thing just comes at us, and he's just barking, really intimidating. And this guide, it was his dog, and he calls the dog off, and he looks at us, and he goes, fellas, we don't see much foot traffic around these parts. Well, that's where we're headed.
Awesome.
There's a reason why you don't see much.
Right.
Because it's made for, like, horses.
Right. And it's the reason why there's elk.
That is exactly right.
They don't love heavily trafficked areas.
Yeah, you got to go where they are.
Unless you can pluck one out of Estes Park, but...
And then you're probably going to get banned for the rest of your life and go to jail, but do not pass go. Well, but yeah, it's been fun training. You know, Mountain Ops is one of my sponsors, and I've been training with all my Mountain Ops stuff, and... Just getting ready. I am going to be 65 in October, and I'm still unleashed.
Yeah. Heck yeah. The outdoors.
That's right.
Just amazing.
It still wakes you up.
And the best, to me, all right, the hunting is the best part. Don't get me wrong. Seeing that elk or hearing the bugle and being like, where is it at? Where is it at? Because there's all the echoing in the mountains, right? Yeah.
Or is that another hunter?
Oh, right. Well, you can usually tell.
Usually you can tell.
Yeah.
There's a few guys that are really good. They can be so subtle. You're like, wait a second, was that an elk?
Right.
Chances are, if he's that good, it probably is an elk.
Right, right. Especially where you're going to be.
Yeah.
And those high notes are tough to hit.
Oh, yeah. I'm a turkey hunter, too, so those mouth diaphragms, I do pretty well with
that. Yeah, I love those things.
I asked Roger one time, I go, so when you're like mewing to the cows, like, you know, with your mouth call, I said, because he teaches, you know, elk calling at Bass Pro and stuff. I said, give me an example of what I should be doing to imitate, you know, a cow that's in estrus. You know, she's ready to breed. He said, think about the, I'll say it this way, the oversized lady at the bar, and it's the last call. Hey, guys,
just begging.
Here. Oh, and he's right. That's pretty much it.
Well, Brent, what I was going to say was my favorite part is the stars at night. I just love to look up and see the Milky Way and the awesomeness of our God. It just has always enthralled me.
And you, when you get out there and you're laying in your sleeping bag and bivy sack and you unzip the front, you know, where your face is, and you're just laying there.
It's insane.
You'll see so many shooting stars every night.
Shooting stars, satellites, the whole nine yards. It's just all available to you.
Yeah, it's incredible. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And there's something, too.
I'm a little bit jealous. I'm not supposed to be, but I'm a little jelly over here.
And you get in your sleeping bag, and it's going to be cool out. You know, that time of the year, at night, it'll get down to probably 30. But there's something about when you get in your sleeping bag, the sun has gone down, and your body gets warm in your sleeping bag, but the air is cool.
Yeah.
You will sleep like a baby.
Yeah. It's the best.
Yeah.
That's why I keep my house at 62.
Yeah, we keep ours at 66. So we're not too far
from. At night, we drop it down from 65 to 62.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, do you have a problem? Do you have two levels or one level?
We have a second level only above the garage area.
We have a level above the garage area and then one on the other side of the house. Above the garage area, you got to keep a fan sucking air into that from the other part of the house to keep it
gets warm.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And that's where my gym is.
We have a second air conditioner for that room.
Oh, well, that maybe.
So that takes care of the issue. I mean, it's how the house came. We didn't think about putting it in. It was just already in, but it works. It does the job.
Yeah. You know, they make little fans that have like two ice packs.
Yeah.
That you can put in the middle of the fan.
Yeah.
It'll cool it.
Yeah. Cool. I have one for when I travel.
Yeah. Those are pretty neat.
Yeah. It's for when I travel to hotels that are, there are some hotels that just cannot cool down.
Or you get in there, the fan squeaks. When the fan kicks on and goes off, kicks on and goes off.
That wouldn't bother me at all. Oh. It bothers my wife, but I don't care at all about that stuff.
I used to turn, remember the old TVs? You could turn them on like static channels.
Yes.
And I would turn the volume up.
White noise.
That was my white noise.
Yeah. Yeah, there's none of that anymore. Good luck finding a UHF, VHF antenna where you can find a static channel. Man, you are old.
I am old. Dude, I was thinking back when Stacy and I were the other day, we were at this picnic area, and I'm looking at all these people taking picnics, which you don't see anymore.
Not a lot.
And I was remembering being a kid.
Is it like a dog park? Is it like a picnic park? Is that what it's designed for?
Well, honestly, the whole park is connected to a winery is what it's connected to.
Okay.
And people were bringing their whole families because the area they have for the picnic is so beautiful that everyone comes to this location. And I was remembering as a kid, I was so curious. I said, let's go for a walk down around the pond. And it's one thing to sit on picnic tables where everybody else is, but when you walk down those trails and you can hear the gravel underneath your shoes, or you feel a plant brush against your arm, and then you begin to look down in the water as you first started getting close where there's a little bridge and you can see little minnows. And I can remember being a kid just wondering, how big are the fish in that pond?
Yeah.
Boy, I would give anything for a fishing
pole. Or can I catch one of these frogs before they jump in the...
Yes.
Yes.
And there was a little boy. He was probably just about a year old, walking for the first maybe a few weeks. And his mom and grandmother and sister were walking him around this path around this pond. And he was curious about everything. Mm. This is what this book, I hope, does with all of us. Hearing our conversations, you know, going from the struggles of a day to the peace of being around a pond. How do we get to that place where we can find that peace? You know, God has this amazing plan for our life, and he doesn't want us to be all caught up in, like we talked about in the temple, you know, the market. Everything was busy. Everybody's buying and selling and doing all these things. But God has us in a place where we can be curious, and rather than letting those difficult things of our life dominate our thoughts, God, what are you showing me in this? That's what this book is going to do with you guys. I'm telling you, it's going to take you beyond what someone else might just give you an answer. It's going to make you think through everything, and you're going to see things in a different way. That's one of the beautiful things about this is whatever you've gone through, God doesn't waste it. It's good stuff.
It really is, Brent. It's been an honor to be a part of this with you, to get to know you better, brother. Really have enjoyed this process. It's been cool.
Yeah, and each week as we go on, we're going to go into the book a little deeper. Today was really just kind of throwing something against the wall and saying, hey, we're going to start doing something different. So forgive us for me, for letting some of those things that were happening over the last 24 hours and this morning with the silverware drawer. Kind of hard to get me in the right mindset.
Why don't you close it out how you normally do?
Yeah. Well, let me just kind of bring it back to this. You might be having your worst day, and the enemy may be toying with you. I think the thing that shifted a couple minutes ago, you probably heard it in my voice shift, is because I was remembering, wait a second, Brent, the enemy's always going to be messing with you. But because Christ is in you, you have everything that you will ever need, even on your worst day. Because when a man knows who he is, that he's been created in the image of the living God, when he is no longer held captive by the opinions of others or cares whether he lives or dies, that man is extremely dangerous for good because he has been unleashed.